John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. The true vine. Number one, deity. Number two, dependency. Number three, delight. This is All Saints Parish Church in Liverpool. It's behind me here. You can visit it just by getting on a bus just outside here. It'll take you about half an hour to walk there. This church is mentioned in the Doomsday Book in 1551. It was built in the 14th century. In the graveyard is buried John Charles Ryle, the first Bishop of Liverpool, who would recite concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, "He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made." One of the former vicars of this church was a man by the name of Henry Law. And this man, Henry Law, was a genius, educated at Eton and at Cambridge. He was a man with a brilliant mind and a burning heart. And as a young Christian, I devoured his books. Listen to what he says. "May Christ conquer my heart and be enthroned therein in all his rightful majesty. For he is my beloved and adored Lord." He wrote, "All peace, all joy, all salvation is found in Jesus only." He wrote, "How can it be that the I am that I am shrank to human flesh?" He wrote, "In Christ Jesus, heaven meets earth, and earth ascends to heaven. Surely royalty in rags, angels in cells, can't compare to deity in flesh." Number one, this is about deity. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Then in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." I remind you that John's gospel is about the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about his godhood. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that is made. Remember, essentially, equally, and eternally, he is God of God. Those of you who know Bible numerology will know that the number 7 is the number of spiritual perfection. And you will have traced in our series in John's Gospels, these 7 amazing I am statements. Remember that Moses met with God at the burning bush. And remember him asking his name, "Who shall I say sends me? Say that I am, has sent me." That is the divine name of the invisible, uncreated, unsupported, infinite, eternal, unchanging, majestic, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, King of the universe. And in John's gospel, 7 times Jesus utters a statement. In John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door." John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep." In John chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." And now here in John 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine." Sidlow Baxter says, "Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not just come to preach the gospel. He is the gospel. He is himself the gospel. He did not come to give bread. He said, 'I am the bread.' He did not merely shed light. He said, 'I am the light.' He did not show the door to heaven. He said, 'I am the door.' He did not speak about resurrection just in vague terms. I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't just say he was the shepherd. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's the way to God, the truth from God, the life in God. Amazing. And now he says, I am the vine. I didn't just come to plant a vine. I am the true vine. I want you to come with me in your mind's eye. We're in Jerusalem. Remember, our Lord is in the last week of his life. Remember that. And he's left the upper room. He's making his way to Gethsemane. And let me tell you, the temple of Herod the Great dominated the skyline of Jerusalem. Every Jewish man or woman could not miss this great temple, supposedly built for the greatness of God, but called the temple of Herod the Great. The man was such an egotist. And yet, there is at the southern side this massive, massive vine in pure gold with grapes the size of a man. Can you imagine that? And it said that as our Lord journeys from the upper room, it's nighttime now, and they're burning the dead vine. There are fires all over the place, and there's a smell of burning because these dead vine branches are being burnt. And so Jesus takes up this imagery as he's about to cross the Brook Kidron, as he's about to go to Olivet, that place of wonderful vineyards, as he's about to go to Gethsemane, where the vineyards are there also. This master of communication, this master of illustration, turns to his disciples and says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Of course, every Jewish man or woman would know that Israel had been called the vine. Psalm 80, Isaiah chapter 5. But if they'd read that passage carefully, they would have seen how God had been disappointed and frustrated with their idolatry and their turning away from him. Remember, our Lord himself in Matthew chapter 21 told the story of the vineyard owner, how they rejected those who wanted to save and the Son who had been sent. And now our Lord Jesus Christ, not just declaring his majesty in saying that I am who I am, nevertheless makes it plain that the real apple of God's eye, the real treasure of God's heart, and the real person who is the true vine is Jesus himself. Beautiful deity. In him most perfectly expressed, the Father's glory shine. Of the full deity expressed, eternally divine. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. Deity. Number two, this is about dependency. Look at verse 5. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You remember the hymn writer said, every virtue we possess, every victory won, and every thought of holiness is his alone. The difference between genuine and counterfeit Christianity is that true Christians are united to Jesus Christ. They abide in Christ. In fact, 9 times in 11 verses, we come across this word, abide. It means to dwell. It means to cling. It means to be joined. It means to be united. It means to be entirely and utterly dependent for life upon him who is the source, the sum and substance of life. And he uses this beautiful picture, this beautiful parable. Without me, you can do nothing. Look what it says. Every branch that in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So here, being in union with Christ, finding our life in Christ, means fruitfulness. You know, the fruit of repentance and faith comes as we are united to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, faith, comes as a result of our union with Jesus Christ. The fruit of obedience, the fruit of perseverance in the faith, comes as a result of our union with Christ. Faithfulness, pruning, verse 2. He prunes that we may bear much fruit. I'm tempted to smile. My wife's sitting here. So you will all know by now, I am definitely not a green fingers. The only grass I like is the smell of grass that's been mown ready for the football match. But you know, my wife likes her garden to blossom with flowers. And it's amazing how she cuts it all down. Right down, pruning it right down. I remember visiting under the bridge, and there was a fellow by the name of Harry Story. Les will remember him. He used to go down there and sit in his greenhouse. He had this massive area, and he would prune everything right down, cut and cut and cut, in order that more fruit might abound. Listen, friend, the way you know that you're a Christian is that the pruning knife of the living God, those disappointments and heartaches and griefs and lessons that are painful to learn in life, are come because God wants us to be more fruitful. And it comes by pruning. And look what else that is a blessing. You are already clean, he says, verse 2. Cleansing is found in him. Not only so, but prayerfulness, verse 7. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is true. The Apostle John will write in his epistle, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. When we're truly abiding in the vine, when we know that we are in union with Jesus Christ and bearing fruit and being pruned, being clean, we can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Not only so, but it brings glory to God when we're united to Jesus Christ. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Remember our Lord when he spoke in Matthew chapter 7. And he said, there will be many on that day who will come. And the word is multitudes. Lord, so they're very orthodox in their theology. Lord, I've done this in your name and that in your name. I've cast out demons in your name. I've wrought many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. Why? Because it's not by our suits and by our words that we are known, but by our fruit, by the fruit of repentance, by the fruit of faith, by the fruit of submission, by the fruit of obedience, by the fruit of fruit bearing. And here we're told that fruit bearing brings glory to God. And a true believer is most satisfied when God is most glorified. And not only so, but here we're told that we're proven to be true disciples. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Here is how you tell an authentic Christian. They bear fruit. And those who are not, who are just pew fillers, who are just hymn singers, who just creed sayers, but don't bear the fruit of true repentance and faith and the fruit of the Spirit and union with Jesus Christ, are not authentic. They're counterfeit. The whole New Testament teaches that. And not only so, but we're told, aren't we, that obedience comes as a result of real union with Christ. Look what it says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, verse 10, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is an amazing statement. To think that the God of heaven and earth would abide with you and me, would make his dwelling place, would make his home, would make the place where he delights to be in you and I. How? When we seek to obey the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we cannot do this without the enabling of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit because of our union with him. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Without him, we can do nothing. I don't know if you know this, but on the 24th of August in 2018, the great and magnificent vine in Hampton Court in London celebrated its 250th birthday. It was planted by Capability Brown in 1768. And there's a lady by the name of Jill Strudwick. She is the current keeper of the vine. And I read all about it. In November, December time, round about now, they have to strip this great big vine almost bare. Why? Because there might be powdered mildew, or shankling, or grey mould, or scale, or insects that will prevent its growth. So they cut it and prune it so that it bears much more fruit. You know, I love quoting hymns, and there's a hymn that was sung when I was a young man. It's not sung anymore. It was written by a lady named Anne Murphy. She was born in East Liverpool, but not in our Liverpool, East Liverpool in Ohio. This is what she wrote. There's a peace in my heart that the world cannot give, a peace it cannot take away. Through the trials of life that surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come here to stay. Constantly abiding. Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding. Rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely. Whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave you. Jesus is mine. This treasure I have in a temple of clay while here on his footstool I roam. But he's coming to take me one glorious day to him in my heavenly home. Constantly abiding. Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding. Glory divine, he never leaves me lonely, whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus, yes, Jesus is mine. But you do notice, of course, don't you, that it says, those that do not bear fruit, he takes away. In fact, it's burned. Can I pass me this branch here for a minute? You see, if the fruit is not joined to the vine, it withers and it dies. What's more, vine branches are not even fit for woodwork. You couldn't make a peg out of a vine branch. And as our Lord is walking towards Gethsemane, you see these wasted and broken and detached vine branches being put into the fire and being burned. That he who has ears to hear what the Son of God would say to you and me. But then lastly, this is about delight. This is about delight. Look what it says. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. My joy in you, your joy full in me. Now think about that for a minute. Here is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is on his way to the cross. He's going to be betrayed by Judas. He's going to be denied by Peter. Remember, he's going to be deserted by everybody. He knows what's happening. He's going to have to face arrest and false accusation. He's going to have to face a scourge. He's going to be crucified, nails driven into his hands and feet, a crown of thorns upon his brow, a spear in his side. Yet he says, "My joy." Why is that? Because he knows the joy of obedience to the will of the Father, which will result in joy unspeakable and full of glory for every man, woman, boy or girl who puts their faith and confidence in him. The joy of sins forgiven, the joy of peace with God, the joy of knowing why you're here, what life's all about, where you are going, the joy of knowing for sure he is our captain and leader and guide. The joy of knowing that even difficulties and heartaches and setbacks and misunderstandings and times of confusion and despair will work together for our good and for his glory. This is not joy which is spelt happiness, which depends on happenings. You know, you've got the right job, the right girlfriend or boyfriend, or you've got the right amount of money in the bank, or the right car you wanted. No, no. This is joy which found in Christ and in Christ alone. I wonder how Simon Peter, Andrew, James's brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon would look back at this event and think, we betrayed him, we failed him, but oh, he loves us. He tells us he loves us. It's amazing. Abide in my love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. How beautiful it is, how delightful it is to know you're loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we gather around the Lord's table now, let's remember that there are sins forgiven and peace with God found in him. I am conscious as I close, very conscious, that in this room right now, there are people struggling with the whole aspect of joy in their Christian life. Struggling because of people you've lost, people who've let you down, heartaches, griefs, and illness. I'm reminded of the story of a man who in the Salvation Army was preaching, you need to have the fullness of joy, and a man stood up at the back and said, I've lost my wife. When you've lost yours, come and speak to me about that joy. So let me just end by telling you this. Yesterday afternoon, I took the funeral of Beryl Williams. Beryl would sit there, Huntington's disease. Her grandmother died of it. Her mother died of it. Her twin sister died of it. Another sister died of Huntington's. And she would fall over. She'd be absolutely bent over. Eventually, she will lose all her faculties. But I tell you, she would sit there absolutely radiant. If our focus is on Christ and all the blessings that are ours in him and the heaven that awaits us, his joy can make our joy full. Let's stand and sing.